Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of Lucy Talks. I'm your host, Lucy Woodward, and I'm so excited to have you listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. Lucy Talks is designed for meaningful conversations about things that really matter in life. From climate change to confidence, from mental health to happiness, I hope this podcast helps you find something you're looking for. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Lucy Talks. So, today is day one of this little 7-day challenge that I want to do. And this has been prompted by quite a few different things, as I'll go into in a minute. But yeah, I've done one of these episodes before, and it's kind of like a mini series within the podcast called Life is an Experiment, because honestly, I just think we get too stuck in our routines and habits and thought patterns and don't ever really branch out enough. And it's something that, like, going forward, I want to do more of these kind of episodes, and just in my life generally, I want to experiment and try new things and kind of push myself out of my comfort zone. So this one, as you can probably tell from the title of the episode, is 7 days with no social media. And the reason for doing this is basically because I think we're all a little bit too attached to our phones. And I know personally, I have like an interesting relationship with social media, not dissimilar to anyone else's, I don't think. But I think my generation have grown up and have had our teenage years with Instagram and, you know, TikTok now, I guess. Not that I'm on TikTok, but I think it's just a little bit crazy how desensitized we are or to the fact that social media is so crazy. And yeah, I'll go into the reasons why in a minute and kind of like clarify what I mean by this. But yeah, I hope that this is something that's interesting to you, and if you've clicked on this, then I encourage you to do the same. Maybe as you listen to this episode or afterwards, try your own 7-day or longer challenge of deleting Instagram or TikTok or whatever else that is that you use, and just see what happens. I'm only doing this because I'm just really intrigued how much it will affect my thought patterns and how much free time I have and how I use my phone. So yeah, I'm mainly just interested and a little bit like, I don't know, it's just there's been a lot of different things that have made me think, yeah, this is something I need to do. If you haven't listened to my last 7-day challenge episode, then basically how this is going to work is that each day I will do a little snippet of a recording and kind of put them all together into one big episode so you can kind of like see my thoughts throughout the week as it goes on. And I'm also thinking I might do this for longer than 7 days, so we'll see like what the implications are. And I'm also just going to talk more generally about social media throughout the episode on different days and stuff. So yeah, I hope that this is like something a bit different, something quite exciting, and if you want to join along, then definitely do so. Like, I think there's no harm that can come from having a bit less time on your phone, really. So yeah, I hope you're excited, and let's get into day one. Okay, so I'm recording this day one segment on the 10th of April, and it's a Monday. So this episode is probably actually going to go out quite a bit after this Monday, but yeah, this is something that I have had on my mind for the last like week or so, probably more than that actually, probably more like the last 2-3 weeks maybe. But at the weekend, I was at my nanny and granddad's house, and we just were like stopping off there for a night on the way back from Cornwall. And yeah, I think the conversation that we had really just made me question like why I actually use Instagram. And I think it's quite healthy and just really refreshing to get people from different generations' viewpoints on social media. So we had me and my brother at the table, and my nanny and granddad, and my mum and dad. And so that's like 3 generations of different perspectives on social media. So essentially the conversation we were having was around TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, and I guess Twitter to an extent as well. Because Nanny was just kind of saying like, well, is there any benefit to me going on social media? Is there any point to me getting TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or anything? And I kind of just said to her, like, no, there's no point getting any of those social medias, because none of her friends have them either. And then that made me think, we kind of like spoke a lot more generally about it as well and what the different ones were and that sort of thing. And when I broke it down, I was like, this is such a strange thing that we have. Like, why do we have all of these different apps for different purposes that really don't actually make us any more connected? Yet somehow my kind of explanation of what the purposes were to kind of connect people. And I was reflecting on it and I thought, I don't feel more connected to my friends from having social media. Definitely social media is a benefit in my life because, so for example, like with Korfball at uni, all of the kind of organizational stuff is done through Facebook, and I think messaging apps and like FaceTime and video calls and all of that, I love that. I think it's great and I wouldn't change that because I do genuinely think that sort of side of things, the organization and the kind of messaging and calls, like what phones are designed for, I guess. And this is going to sound so stupid to like anyone who's older who's listening, but I think for my generation it's like it's something we just take for granted and forget that it's something that's changed even in the last 20 years. I'll get more onto that in a minute, but yeah, basically I was kind of thinking as I was speaking and realizing that social media really just doesn't make me feel more connected. And then I toyed with the idea of deleting everything. My first response was that, yeah, but then I'm not going to know like what plans are being made and I'll be missing out on actual social interaction in person because you won't know like who's meeting up when, who's free, etc. And that was the conclusion I came to. And I kind of didn't think anything of it again. And then today, while I've been like doing some project work, I've had Megan Short's podcast on in the background and I'll leave it down below. And the episode was called We Are All Third Wheeling Social Media. It's just like, it's something's like really clicked in my head about the way that we kind of broadcast what we're doing in our lives without actually talking to people and having genuine conversations with people that we maybe don't see all the time, but we still kind of like value them and want them in our lives, kind of friends from home or people that we know from things that we used to do and just like our paths don't cross anymore, or family even. And it's just such a bizarre concept that we kind of broadcast, or maybe you don't, but if you kind of put things, if you post things online and put things on your story, and I do quite a bit of this for the podcast just because, well, my like validation I guess for it is that I find it really fun, and I do genuinely find it really fun, and I think it's quite a cool creative outlet, and I like kind of looking at the colors and making things look pretty, like, and sharing things in a cool positive way. And I think the message from the podcast in general is kind of one of connection and mindfulness and that sort of thing, and I do try to put that through in the things that I post on social media. However, when Megan was speaking about it in her podcast, and I really recommend you listen to it if you're someone who spends any time on their phone and any time on social media, then I definitely recommend you listen to it. But the main thing that stuck with me from that, I'm not going to repeat all of her points, but the main thing that stuck with me is the fact that this kind of method of trying to communicate with people, or like large numbers of people, and almost like broadcasting things that we're doing in our lives, actually means that our relationships in real life suffer from that. Because even though it's kind of harmless and it doesn't really matter like what you are posting, if people kind of have more of an idea of the things that you've been up to in your life, say you've been to a concert and you then see a friend that you haven't seen in a while and they say, oh, I saw that you went to that concert. And you say, yeah, it was great. Like, we really enjoyed it. And you say, oh yeah, I went with so-and-so friend, and they go, oh yeah, I saw that as well. Like, I know, like that must have been really good. And that's the end of the conversation. Whereas if they didn't know that you'd been to the concert, you can tell them about it. And then there's like just naturally going to be more of a flow of the conversation because you're finding out new information. And I was talking about this with Freya this afternoon, and it's kind of crazy, like, how you think that sometimes you've caught up with someone, or someone else asks you about someone that you both know, and you have information about their life through the things that they've posted on social media. So you tell that other person about what they're doing, but you haven't actually spoken to the person about what they're doing or how they're feeling. So you're kind of taking this, like, online account of what it is that they've been up to for the actual truth of what they're doing. And I'm not saying that people are lying when they're posting on their story. I don't think they often are. But what's to say that this kind of concert that they've been posting about, for example, was such a great event? And, like, how do you actually know how someone's feeling unless you speak to them? And I'm not necessarily saying you have to call everyone up, but even texting, like, that is a direct form of communication rather than this kind of indirect, like, telling everyone at once but actually telling no one. And it just, like, really has made me think. So Freya and I on the phone this afternoon just both deleted Instagram because I've been wanting to do this for a while and I think it will be really beneficial. I don't want to delete any messaging apps because I think that those actually have a positive effect on, like, how I interact in real life, because it just allows me to make plans. And especially, like, when I'm at home for the holidays, I'm not with my uni friends and I'm not kind of in that bubble. So it's nice to, you know, keep up to date with what people are doing and to just chat and stuff. So yeah, I think for me, like, the only social media I really use is Instagram. I don't have TikTok and I don't scroll on Facebook. I just use it for Korfball. So I think maybe if you were doing this challenge and you have, like, TikTok or other things, then those, you could, like, delete that as well. But yeah, it's completely up to you. So yeah, Instagram's the main one for me, but I've also deleted Pinterest and YouTube off my phone just because when I'm not scrolling on Instagram, like, sometimes I move Instagram across a few screens on my home screen, like, move it to the back so I don't just click on it by habit, which in itself is, like, worrying that that's just such a habit to just click on apps without even thinking about it. So I've deleted Pinterest as well because I put that in the place of Instagram when I move Instagram across, so that, because whenever I go on Pinterest, I love it. I think it's so inspiring, and you only really see kind of positive photos, and, like, all of those photos are anonymous, so it just seems like a kind of scrapbook of different people's photos. But regardless, I think for the purpose of this challenge, like, it would be good to just detach from the whole scrolling thing as well, and to not have my phone as a way to distract myself from what's going on, even though I don't ever intentionally use it for that. Like, I don't want to be doing that, but it's, I think if you're near my age or maybe older, like, you're probably familiar with the way we just automatically, when there's, like, a gap in a conversation or if something's a bit awkward, you, like, reach for your phone. And I hate that I do that. And I don't always do that, but I hate that that is a thing. Like, it annoys me when I'm in a conversation with someone else and they reach for their phone halfway through. Like, that's just, it's not a good feeling. And so, yeah, I want to try and, like, experiment with this a little bit. And I realise this day one has been very long, but I think I just wanted to explain, like, my motivations and what it is that this is about. And if any of this has, like, resonated with you, I would definitely recommend Megan Short's episode, and I will leave that in the top line of this description. So, okay, I guess I'll see you tomorrow with a little update about what I'm getting up to and how I'm finding it. So, enjoy. Hiya. Okay, so day two. Today I've been thinking about how, isn't it just a little bit weird how we have kind of sub motives that we maybe aren't even aware of whenever we're having some kind of, like, social interaction that is acceptable or desirable in some way. So today I went for brunch with my really good friend Rosie. I've known Rosie since I was 2 years old. And yeah, we just had a catch up because she's recently moved to London, which is super exciting. Apologies if you can hear my laptop in the background. It sounds like it's gonna take off. It's, like, whirring away because it's too hot, but Rosie's just moved to London, which is very, very cool, very exciting. And yeah, we're just having a bit of a catch up. We had some brunch. I had a lovely veggie breakfast with some hash browns, which were amazing. And I was just thinking about how weird it is that, like, I'm not saying I do this every time or even a lot, but sometimes when you're with a group of people, it's just like something that's quite normal and almost like you do it without thinking to take a photo and to upload it or to put it on your story or to do something with it. And like there's kind of an intention that that photo is going to be used for something at a later date rather than to just capture that moment. And I don't know, I just find it a bit weird. Like when I stop and think about it, it's quite weird how that is so normal to just have not a conscious ulterior motive, but these kind of like subtasks within an event to make it somehow about your identity online. And I think like identities that we create online are just really fascinating in themselves because they're not real. They're just these kind of facades that we've put up that everyone seems to take as the kind of truth of who that person is. And I definitely think like your online accounts or whatever can, I definitely think your social media accounts can show who you are to an extent, but like they're never gonna get the depth of who you are as a person. That's just impossible. And I think it's interesting how it is definitely like a way that we kind of shape our identities and how that like bleeds into who we are in the real world. And how like the separation is so hazy. And I think that's what I've been thinking about today is like how strange it is that we kind of capture these moments and maybe immediately or maybe with like a few hours delay, share them for other people who weren't there, who probably don't care that much about the actual event going on, but somehow it like says something about who you are as a person, whether you're spending your time at the gym or having a conversation with a friend like over a meal like I did today, or whether you're going away somewhere or you're on holiday or you're traveling or you're, you know, on your own, like reading, like all of these little things that are very harmless, really, just sharing aspects of our life online. They seem harmless, but like it's just a strange thing to think about how normal it is that that happens, and the fact that we don't ever really think about the reason why we're doing it, and we don't think consciously about this kind of identity that we might be shaping being online. So let me know your thoughts. I feel like maybe that's all a bit deep and it's too overcomplicating, and it's overcomplicating something that doesn't really need to be overcomplicated, but I don't know. It's interesting like having a bit of distance from it. And even with these like 2 days of not being on Instagram, like I don't know, it's slightly concerning, I think, the fact that I feel kind of like my brain feels a little bit lighter. Definitely not like a noticeable amount, I wouldn't say, but just when I would naturally like be on my phone, I haven't been. And it's interesting. I'll keep updating you on how this little challenge is going, but I'm enjoying it so far. The world hasn't ended. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say. Okay, this is the entry for day 5 and day 6. And I realise I haven't done 3 or 4, but it's just because I think the main thing that I want to update on in these days is just that I've got really used to not going on Instagram already, even though it's been, well, like 5, 6 days. I'm just really enjoying it, and I don't feel like I've had that much to kind of update on because it's been quite a, I don't know, like a non-event, I guess, which is good, and I'm glad about that. So some relevant things that are worth mentioning. Last night I met up with some of my friends from home, and yeah, it was like nice to not be on my phone that entire evening. There was nothing to do on it that was more interesting than what was going on in the room. And I think that is something that I've really noticed, is like quite often without realizing it, there'll be a slight bit of discomfort in a situation. And people like just, I don't know, it's like an involuntary movement now, which is kind of weird, but like people just pick up their phones and open it. And then maybe find that like there's not actually anything on their phone they want to do, so then put it down. I don't know, surely that's not just me. I've noticed people do that as well. But I haven't been doing that really. Or if I do, then I'm like, well, there's nothing on my phone that I want to actually look at. It's just a habit. So yeah, that's been quite interesting to observe. And yeah, I don't know, it was nice. Like, I don't think I'm the sort of person who is often on their phone in a social setting. I think I've got quite good boundaries around that. But even so, I feel like I noticed a difference. And yeah, it was really nice. It was lovely. The other thing is that I've had a really nice day with my mum today. So we went to Oxford, or like near Oxford, and went like paddleboarding along the river, which was really, really nice. I don't know, something about like having the space from your phone. And I think I've particularly noticed that in the last couple of days, and I imagine like the longer you go without being on your phone as much, the more this effect kind of kicks in. But like, I found it a lot easier to kind of clear my mind of any like random little things that would pop up that would maybe start to make me feel anxious, or like start to kind of be something that I didn't want to be thinking about, but then, you know, you get caught in these thought patterns. But yeah, we were just like, you know, paddling along the river. It was gorgeous. Quite rainy, but still really peaceful. There wasn't really anyone else on the river, probably because it was so rainy. But like, I don't know, it's just lovely. Like, something about being really, really close to the surface of the water when you're on a paddleboard, it's just like, I don't know, you feel really part of it. And it was lovely. It was really lovely. Didn't have my phone with me, like didn't feel like I needed to. It was, yeah, really, really good. I almost wish that like I had something more interesting to say, like, oh, I'm really missing my phone, or like, can't wait for the week to be over so I can re-download it, because I feel like that would kind of show the two sides of it. And I'm sure, like, I don't know, I just don't really, haven't really experienced any difficulty with this, so it doesn't really feel like a challenge yet, at least. Like, it's only been a couple of days, so it's not exactly saying much, but yeah, I don't know, it's been really nice, and kind of only have positive things to say, which is lovely, but for the purpose of this episode is maybe not as much of a challenge as I'm gonna make out from the title. But yeah, that is probably all I have to say, I think. It's good. I really recommend, honestly. It's really refreshing, even if it's only for like a week or a couple of days or like a few hours each evening. Like, it's nice. So I think another thing that's kind of helping me with this is reading Solve for Happy by Mo Gowda. It's a brilliant book, brilliant, brilliant book. I'm really loving it. And I think it's just going to be one of those books that like is just going to be like an all-time favorite. And I always feel a bit like, oh, but really, do you mean that if it's the book you're reading at the moment? But honestly, like it's going to be an all-time fave for sure. And the first section in particular talks about like the different illusions that we aren't really conscious of in our lives at the moment, and how like if we can recognize those illusions that we can be happier. And social media is not explicitly mentioned, but I do think that it is kind of under that category of something that we kind of think is real. Well, not necessarily real, because I'm sure like we're aware that it's not, but you get sucked into it and it seems like this really big deal, but taking a step back, I'm like, it's just not that important. I don't know. It's just given me a lot to think about. So yeah, anyway, would recommend, and I will catch up with you in the next update. Okay, day 7. So this is like technically the end of this challenge, but I'm going to carry it on. So I might do another episode, not another episode, another little segment. But yeah, again, I only really have positive things to say. I've loved this break. And yeah, just to reiterate, like, your social media is not you. This kind of like identity that we have online that we probably don't even realize we're like creating, it's not you. And even if you're the most authentic person on the app, I'm not saying people are lying, but it can never be the actual you. Like, what you look like is not you. Your past experiences, they're not you. They're just things that you've experienced, and they're not you right now. It's like a past version. And I just feel like we're constantly sharing all of these things that we're doing, but things that we do aren't actually describing who we are. I mean, they are to an extent, because it kind of shows like what your values are and what you enjoy, but we're all just like humans, and I think that gets really lost online. I just think the actual essence of who someone is can never be shown online. It has to be in person. And I think the real thing that I've learned from this week is that we are all so detached from that actual connection in real life, partly because of social media and because of all these other distractions and the kind of identities that we've created online. And I don't know, it's really difficult to put into words, but hopefully you kind of understand what I mean. I think particularly the thing about, like what I mentioned right at the start of the week, about if you're showing things that you're getting up to, people don't necessarily ask you about it or have conversations with you about it in the same way. And that is actually something that I really want to change in my life. Because I want genuine friendships. I want friendships that are meaningful and honest, and where there's like an actual human interaction going on. Like, there's an exchange of information and emotion and connection. And I don't know, it is a lot more apparent to me now that that gets lost when we're kind of communicating with people through these indirect methods. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've taken away. It's not necessarily the time scrolling, because like it has freed up a bit of my time, but realistically I've filled that with other things. I haven't like worked on any kind of big project that I've been dying to do for years, that I haven't like, you know, made loads of extra time in my day. But I think this kind of secondary knock-on effect of social media is really invisible, and I just find it interesting that it's a thing that is really crazy. I feel like I've said that a lot in this. I'm not sure how conducive to a, you know, consistent argument this thing has all been, but just sharing my experiences. Yeah, and like, it's the end of the week and I don't want to re-download it, and I'm not going to re-download it today because I just don't want to re-download any of my apps. Like, I will re-download it eventually, but right now I'm quite happy, so I'm going to stick with it at that point. Something else that I really want to mention is an interview with David Bowie, I'm not sure how you actually pronounce it, with Jeremy Paxman on BBC Newsnight from 1999. And it seems really, really random, but if you haven't seen it before, I feel like it's quite a famous interview, but also not that well known. He essentially like predicts the internet and how the lines between artists, particularly in music, but also just art in general, how the lines between the artist and the audience are going to be blurred because of the internet. And he kind of says like the 21st century is going to be all about that grey space between the artist and the audience, and how like people perceive the art is actually going to be the most important thing about it, and that's going to like change the entire kind of scope of what we see in terms of like music and that sort of thing. And he's like so ahead of his time and so accurate in his predictions of the potential of the internet, and it's just like really, really interesting to watch, and it's kind of related to this. So if you haven't seen that, I would really recommend that you watch it, and I'll leave it in the description. Yeah, that's the end of my little day 7 update. I feel like it's not quite time for me to upload this yet, so I'm going to probably do another little update. But yeah. So it is day 12 now. It's Saturday. I think it's day 12. Around there. Saturday the 22nd of April, and I'm going to upload this on Monday. Still don't think I'm going to re-download any of like Instagram particularly, because I don't want to. I do kind of miss like the creative side of it, but that's fine. That can wait. Yeah, I think like I'm not throwing shade. One thing I want to say before I finish this is like, I'm not trying to say that Instagram is like evil or that people who use it are bad or like any of that. I really don't believe that at all. And if you listen to this and you think, I absolutely do not agree with any of what you've said, like Instagram adds so much to my life, I'll be like, yeah, cool, great. Because Instagram is great. And I think the use of social media for activism and for connecting people and educating people, like that is actually what a lot of my feed is on Instagram, is people like Blair Armani, who does like a Smarter in Seconds series where she kind of educates you and speaks to like loads of really diverse people from loads of different backgrounds, and they have really unique viewpoints on the world. And I think for that sort of thing, it's amazing. Yeah, the final thing actually that I want to say is that I've actually noticed myself enjoying moments that I've made for me, like, I don't know, making a cup of tea, which is, you know, really stupid and simple, or reading a book, or going for a walk, or like these kind of, you know, self-care things that everyone tends to talk about. I've noticed that when I'm not doing them with some kind of like secondary motive of posting them, then I get so much more enjoyment out of them. And I actually think it's really good for like self-worth, because it then becomes something that you're solely doing for yourself. There's no other, even if it's tiny little kind of secondary advantage of doing it, is that you get to kind of show other people that you've done it. Taking that away makes it mean so much more. Even if that like little percentage of wanting to do it for other people's attention or praise, or to kind of show that you're doing the right things, like even if that percentage is really, really, really small, taking that away completely means that the whole experience is for you. And like, I don't know, I think that's a really powerful thing, doing things that are solely for you, or on the flip side, doing things that are solely for other people that you're not doing to kind of like virtue signal or doing anything else, even if that percentage of wanting that is really, really small. By not posting it at all, I just think it like adds so much more value to the moment, and then makes your like self-worth and confidence, and I don't know, probably a lot of other things as well, like it makes that matter more to you. And that's, yeah, that's the final thing that I've noticed. But anyway, I will end this here, because it's been a lot of like rambling thoughts throughout the week or 2 weeks, whatever, and I would love to know what you think. So instead of messaging me on Instagram like I normally encourage you to do, you can send me an email, because I would love to hear your thoughts on this. The email is spacetolearnpodcast@gmail.com, which is an old email, and I do need to update it for the new name, but I don't really use it that much, so yeah, I haven't got around to doing that. But that is the email if you want to email me, and I'd love to hear it, or like if you're my friend, obviously just send me a message, or whatever. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. I hope it's been interesting, and I will be back again next Monday with another episode. Have a lovely week. Bye.